Take your Bible this morning and turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Boy, it took me a while to get a piece about this message and to develop it. But I still kind of wonder how I'm going to start it and what I'm going to do. But here goes. I've been thinking about something that I think the whole world needs. It's actually something that you and I need more of in our life. And I believe that it's something that a lot of people don't even realize they need. Maybe even sometimes we don't realize we need it. But the Word of God says this in John chapter 3 and verse 30. It says, He must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, but I must decrease. And also in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. This world seems to be going the wrong way, doesn't it? A lot of things does. I mean, there's people that basically are telling the Lord with their actions of their life that, I don't like the way you made me, and I want to be different. There are people that are trying to promote their own selves and their own ways and their own means and their own things that they have. And they're basically going against the Lord God Almighty. They're basically going against these things. But you know, we can sit back and judge them and judge those things. But I'm afraid sometimes it even goes on in our life, doesn't it? But let's look here in some scriptures in Mark chapter 10. And let's see what the Word of God tells us. Here, begin with verse 32 of Mark 10. Mark 10, verse 32, it says, And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem. And Jesus went before them. And they were amazed as they followed. They were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priest, unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would you that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, You know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. Jesus said unto them, You shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized with all shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, You know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That's reading Mark chapter 10, verses 32 through 45. Let's have another word of prayer today. Our Father, which art in heaven, we do praise thy holy name that we can be here at the house of God today. We do not take this lightly, that we are here. We do not take it lightly that we are here with the Word of God. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to give out the Word of God rightly, to give it out as it should be today. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to praise thy holy name for thy salvation that is totally in Jesus. Lord, even the scriptures that we just read today tell us that. And Lord, I praise thy holy name for the humbleness of Jesus that came to this world, that gave himself as a sacrifice and died on the cross of Calvary. But even as he told here, he arose from the dead and he ascended into heaven and he sits on the right hand of God the Father making intercession for us now. And I praise thy holy name that each and every time that we have sinned, but we come to you and ask forgiveness, he gives us that. Praise thy name for that today. Now, Lord, help us to be thy people here today in this place worshiping you. And I thank you for what we've already done with the songs we've sang, with the fellowship that we've done. But now, Lord, help us to hear from the Word of God. Help us to apply it to our hearts and our lives and use it for thee today. Lord, be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Here in Mark chapter 10, if you go back to verse 32, you see something here where it says they were in the way going up to Jerusalem. It's a group of people here. And I believe they're spread out kind of in three groups. I believe Jesus is in the lead because it says, and Jesus went before them. And I believe the apostles are the second group that's walking behind him. Then I believe there's a group of people behind them. Can you just imagine? Can you see this group walking down the road? They're going towards Jerusalem. And I like some things that it said here. It says, first of all, it says they were amazed. I'm going to tell you something. If you're walking with Jesus, you're going to be amazed. There's no way that you cannot be amazed when you're walking with Jesus. But it also says they followed. Praise the Lord, they were following Jesus. They were being with him. But look what else it says, they were afraid. I'm sure they had heard about the things going on around about Jerusalem. They had heard about the leaders of Jerusalem and what they were saying and what they were doing and what they wanted to do, that they wanted to capture Jesus and they wanted to do some things with him. And here they were afraid, the Bible tells us. But I can imagine all these different emotions running through the apostles and running through this crowd. And I can imagine the apostles at the same time being amazed at Jesus with all the things he had been doing and all the things that had been going on. But they were still following him. But I can also imagine that they were afraid because they thought, boy, we're his inner group. We're the ones walking with him. Can you imagine these things going on in their heart, in their mind, in their life? I can see this happening. And I can see this going on. And I can see how easy it would be. But here's Jesus calling the apostles to the side, it says here. He took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him. He took them to the side. And verses 33 and 34 says this. He says, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man should be delivered unto the chief priests and to the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him and shall scourge him and shall spit upon him and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. Can you imagine yourself being one of those that he's talking to? Do you think you would understand this? It'd be hard to understand, wouldn't it? But let me ask you something. All the things you'd seen Jesus do, he'd already fed the 5,000. He'd already fed another group of people. And he'd already taken loaves and fishes and just multiplied them and multiplied them. They had taken up basketfuls. One time they took up 12. One time they took up 7. And you'd already seen all these things going on. You'd already seen him heal people. So can you sit there and say, I don't believe Jesus? No, I don't think you could. But still, you might not understand it, right? How many times do we think read things in the Word of God and we say, boy, I don't know if I understand that. Too many times, don't we? But it is in the Word of God. It is there. And it is truth. But here's Jesus. Now I want you to back up to verse 32 and I want you to see something. Right in the middle of the verse it says something. And he took again the 12. I want to ask you a question. Brother Thomas, Brother Jack, how many times your wife have to tell you something before you really know it? at my house, it might happen a few times before I really know it. But this is the third time that Jesus tells his disciples, his apostles, that this is going to happen. Go back to Mark chapter 8. Go back to Mark chapter 8. I want you to see something here, beginning with verse 27 of Mark 8. It says, "And Jesus went out and his disciples to the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying to them, 'Whom do men say that I am?'" Verse 28 of Mark 8, if you didn't hear me. "And they answered, 'John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others one of the prophets.' He said unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And who speaks up?" It says, "And Peter answered and said unto him, 'Thou art the Christ.' And he charged them that they should tell no man." And verse 31 says, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days arise, and after 3 days rise again." Look at verse 32 and 33. "And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, 'Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but things that be of men.'" So here's Jesus the first time. He's telling them about himself being taken, and he's going to be killed. He's going to be rejected. He's going to be before the chief priest. But he's going to rise again the third day. And Peter says, "Lord, that can't happen. Don't let it happen, Lord. We won't let it happen." I'm sure Peter's just rebuking him and saying, "Whoa, stop." But the Lord says, "Wait a minute. This is not of God, but it's of Satan, Peter. But this is of the Lord." But look at the second time. Go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, beginning verse 30. It says, "And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not know that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, 'The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day.'" Verse 32 says, "But they understood not that saying and were afraid to ask him." But look at verses 33 through 35 here. It says, "And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, 'What was it that you disputed about among yourselves?' By the way, but they held their peace. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, 'If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all.'" Here's the Lord Jesus three times. He's telling them that I'm going to Jerusalem and I'm going to be spit upon. I'm going to be ridiculed. I'm going to be sent before the high priest. I'm going to be sent to the Gentiles. I'm going to be killed. But on the third day, I'm going to rise again. And each time, first time, Peter rebukes him and goes up against him. The second time, the apostles, it says here, are talking among themselves and saying, "Who's the greatest?" And the third time, James and John are saying, "We want to be one on your left and one on your right." None of them are looking at him and saying, "Lord, Lord, you're going to die for us." They're all being selfish, thinking about themselves, not thinking about the example that the Lord Jesus is giving them. Wow, can you see that? Can you imagine that? Do we do that with our life? Wow. Each of us sit back and say, "No, I'm not that way." But I bet if we look in the cracks and the crevices of our life, there's times that we're just like these apostles. We don't praise the Lord. We don't thank the Lord. We don't witness for the Lord. We don't give out the Lord and share him with others around about us. Let them know what he's done for the world, what he's done for you and I, and what he's done for everybody in the world. But here's these apostles all three times, arguing about something instead of what the Lord's doing for them. Let's go back to chapter 10 and let's dig into those verses just for a little bit today. Back to chapter 10 and verse 35, it says, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, coming to him, saying, Master, we would thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we should desire. We shall desire." Isn't that how a lot of people in the world are today? Do for me what I want. There's too many groups today in this world that are saying, our group needs to be number one. Our group needs to be put on a pedestal and looked at first. Do for us what we desire. What we desire. And there's too many times, and I'm going to say this the way I used to say it in Sunday school. My wife's husband wants to be put on first. Put on top. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about myself, right? We want to have our own desire. We want to be put first. We want to be put first. We need to be careful. We need to watch out. Because here's these two guys, and you wouldn't have thought that of two of the Lord's apostles, would you? Would you have thought two of the Lord's apostles would said, here, they didn't really come to him saying, please. They said, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. You know, these men wanted security. They wanted preeminence. They wanted power. Isn't that what a lot of people want in their life today? Everybody wants security, don't they? Everybody wants power. You know, what really made them think that they should do this? Think about this for a minute. Peter, James, and John were part of the Lord's inner circle, weren't they? But here's another thought. I don't know if you know this or not, but James and John here were cousins of the Lord. Their mother was Mary, sister. So they thought they were family. They probably thought they should come first in the apostles because they were cousins of the Lord. And a lot of times that's the way it is in this world, isn't it? That's what people think. But I want you to look at something else. They also were claiming a promise, I think. If you look back in Matthew chapter 19, Matthew 19, verse 28, the Bible tells us, well, look back at verse 27, then we'll look at verse 28. But verse 27, it says, "Then answered Peter, talking to the Lord, and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." So these guys were claiming a promise, and they were saying, look, we're going to be part of the ones on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. We just want to be one on the right hand and one on the left. So they weren't really asking anything that they weren't already going to have. They just wanted their position to be right next to Jesus. So, I still have an issue with this request because of their timing. Again, I say, Jesus is announcing to them that, hey, I'm going to die. I'm going to lose my life. What a timing for them to say, Jesus, how about putting one of us on your left and one of us on your right? I think their timing's a little off, don't you? But doesn't that show the selfishness of men? The selfishness of men. Look at the response of Jesus in verses 38 and 39. But Jesus said unto them, you know not what you ask. Can you drink the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we can. Jesus said unto them, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall you be baptized. Basically, they said, or Jesus said unto them, can you participate and can you be like me and do the things that I'm going to be doing? They said, yeah, we can. Jesus knew what he was going to go through, but they had no idea. Have you ever told somebody before that you could do something they could do? Boy, especially as a kid, right? Somebody tells you, I can jump higher than you. You're going to try to outjump them, right? Somebody tells you, I can jump off of this roof. You going to try to jump off the roof too? Well, sometimes we try to do that, didn't we? But I'm going to tell you something. Hear these that are doing this, and they're listening, but they're not really hearing, are they? Jesus has just said in verses 33 and 34, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priest and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him and shall scourge him and shall spit upon him and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. Jesus didn't say it might happen. Jesus didn't say that it could happen. Jesus said it's going to happen. And these guys said, we can do it. We can do it. They weren't listening. They weren't listening. If I ask Elaine right now how many times I didn't listen to her, she couldn't hold it up on her hands because it's not enough fingers. But I'll tell you this, you and I need to listen to the Lord God Almighty and try to do our best to serve him and do what he asks us to do. That's exactly what Jesus is doing here. Did Jesus want to do all these things? No. The man part of Jesus knew what was going to happen. The God part of Jesus knew what was going to happen. But the man part of Jesus knew all the pain and anguish and anxiety and the separation from the Lord God Almighty that he was going to go through. And he did not want to go through that. But he didn't one minute, one time sit here and say, oh, this could happen. Every time. Did you see my emphasis I put on the word shall? He says, this is going to come to pass. No matter what. No matter what. Aren't you glad that Jesus said, I'm going to the cross and I'm going to die for mankind no matter what. No matter what. Wow. Not one time did Jesus doubt that he wouldn't give his life for us. Not one time. Even back when Peter rebuked him, Jesus looked at him and says, hey, it's the Lord's will. It's the Lord God's will, and it's going to happen, Peter. It's going to happen. I'm glad that God chose Jesus to go to the cross, and I'm glad that Jesus went. I'm glad that Jesus accomplished the Lord God's will. Back here in verse 39 into 40, we see the revelation. We see the revelation that Jesus gave these guys. But look at verse 40. It says, but to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. Jesus told him, there are positions there, but they're not mine to give. Not mine to give. No, you and I today, we would love to have positions and do things. But the positions are settled. And they're decided by God Almighty. But I tell you something. Aren't you glad we have a position that's provided by the Lord Jesus Christ? If all we have to do is accept him and trust in him. Our position is made in heaven. But I want you to think about something else for a moment. The Lord Jesus told them in verse 40, though, he did say, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. You shall be. He says, shall ye be baptized? I want you to think about something for a minute. Let me show you. Look at Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Do you realize that one of these was probably, from what I know, what I've read, the first of the apostles to be martyred? Acts chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. Verse 2 says, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. James, the brother of John, he killed with the sword. So he was probably the first of the apostles And more than likely, if he was killed with a sword, he probably was beheaded. He lost his life for the cause of Christ, for his faith. Jesus told him, says, yep, you're going to suffer. Yep, you're going to go through part of what I'm going through. But what do you think happened to John? Well, John didn't suffer the death that way, but we know that he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, and the Bible tells us that he recorded the book of Revelation there, didn't he? But I did read in history that at one time he survived being boiled in oil. Wow, can you imagine that, surviving that? So he suffered much. He went through much. Now, will these guys be on the right hand and left hand of the Lord? I don't know. To me, they might have gained it. And I can't tell you. But I do know this. They did suffer for Christ. They suffered for Christ. But look at what else happened here. Look at verse 41. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. Now, let me ask you something. Why do you think the 10 were displeased, or why do you think they were angry? More than likely because they didn't get there first and ask for those positions. Why do I think that? Well, the second time, they were all arguing over who was the greatest, right? The apostles were arguing over who was the greatest. So if they were arguing then over who was the greatest, and it says here they were displeased or they were angry with James and John for asking about being on the right and left, they probably were thinking, we wanted to do that. We wanted that. Why did you ask first? I don't know for sure. But it does say that they were displeased. But look at what the Lord did here. The Lord called them all together in verse 42 and said unto them, you know, they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. You know, the Lord keeps preaching and teaching humility, doesn't he? With his life, with his words here. What I read in verse 44, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. Whosoever tries to build himself up to be the greatest is going to be the servant of all, Jesus says. You and I sometimes want to try to make ourselves to be the greatest, to be the best, to be the top, to be the leader. But Jesus says you got to be servant before you can be a leader. Didn't Jesus show us that? Didn't Jesus prove to us that? I believe he did. The Lord wants us to know that the path to the top leads through the bottom. Leads through the bottom. You know, Pastor Brandon referenced to it right much when he keeps talking about the young people wanting to work today. That most of them want to come out and start on top. But I believe that you do better when you start at the bottom and work your way up. I believe it makes you a better person. I believe it makes you a better worker. I believe it makes you better in life. And I believe the Lord Jesus teaches us that. But here's the other thing that I think that we don't want to lose sight of. It's when you're on the top, you still need to be a servant. Jesus, the Son of God, was still being a servant. Still being a servant. Verse 45, Jesus says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. I'm going to read that again. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Why does it say for even there? For even. Those first two words of that verse. For even the Son of God. It reminds us, I believe, that Jesus is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh, but yet he came to be a servant and to do God's will. He didn't come to be a king the first time he came. He came to serve. And he served the Lord God well. Now here's what I want you to think about as we close this out. I talked about this three times. Three times the Lord looks at his apostles. Even the scripture that we read said, again, he called them to the side. Again, he told them. I'm going to go back and say this again, and my wife's going to get on me, but again, my wife will tell me something. And it still might not register, right? But again, the Lord called them to the side a third time and told them, I'm going to the cross of Calvary. He didn't quite say it in this way. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be spit upon. I'm going to lose my life. But on the third day, I'm going to rise from the dead. Do you think it registered with these guys? If two of them came to him and asked him, Lord, when we get to glory, can you put one of us on the right hand and one on the left? And then the others came arguing with them or displeased with them about why they ask it. I don't know that it registered. Most of the time, somebody tells you something for the third time, are they going to come back to you again and keep telling you and keep telling you and keep helping you and keep doing things for you? Probably not. But you know what Jesus did in John chapter 13? At the Last Supper, he washed the apostles' feet. I like to read that scriptures, but we won't take time to do it today. But in John chapter 13, if you go home and you read those verses, you got to realize, you got to think about that he grabs a towel, grabs a basin of water. He goes around to each apostle and he washes their feet. He washes the feet of all of those that are going to run away from him and not be there at the crucifixion, because the Bible says they desert him, right? He washes the feet of Peter, who's going to deny him three times. He washes the feet of Judas, who's going to turn him in for 30 pieces of silver. Is Jesus still being a servant? Is Jesus still showing humility? Is Jesus still doing the will of God? And you know what Jesus does after he gets through washing their feet? He looks at them and says, you ought to do this one for another. Jesus, the humble servant of God. Would he fit in today's world? Today's world says, I need to build myself up. I need to make myself to be the best leader I can be by jumping out there and doing everything I can to make myself to get on top. You and I, how are we going to get people in here and get them saved? I think by being humble, witnessing to them, telling them about Jesus, living it in front of them, showing them what Jesus did for us, he can do for them. You and I, let's do our best to serve the Lord. Patsy, would you come to the piano and play for us? I don't know what you need today, and I don't know what the Lord's speaking to you about. But I think we all need more humility in our life. I don't think we can get too much. And here's the thing about it. It's something that the world needs, but then when you go running out there talking about it, it's not anything you have, is it? But let's humble ourselves. try to make ourselves to be like Jesus. Sometimes it's hard to pray for your enemy, isn't it? And when I say that, we don't really have enemies, but we have people that we know that might hurt us, might not be exactly our friend, but we ought to seek after them and try to get them to the Lord Jesus. Let's do what we can do to serve Him.